enjoying the study through the Psalms. And your turn is Psalm 5. So let's turn to the great Psalm and have some comments. Psalm 5. Give ear to my word, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my God, my King, and for to you my voice shall hear, you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. And in the morning I will direct it to you, I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall the evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy and fear of you and your worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in your heart, neither in your heart is destruction. Their throat is as an open. They flatter with their tongue, pronounce them guilty. Let them fall by their own counsel, cast them in the multitude of transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all men rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you depended. Let them also come to love you. Be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you surround them and receive. Nevertheless, the reading of his word this morning. You notice that probably in your Bible it says it's Psalm of David. And believe it or not, this has been contended. It's been argued, actually, on the basis of verse 7, where it says that he was the holy temple. And then later on, it speaks of going to the house of the Lord. And that was built after David, built by Solomon, his son. And so some scholars have said, well, it can't be David. It's interesting how many times the Bible students find the simplest things to argue with, and if we really just trust the word to be true, and trust, there's no contradictions, there's no errors in the scriptures states. In fact, when you look at the word temple, and you look at the phrase, the house of the Lord, both of can immediately be translated the house as a tabernacle, a tent of meeting, a tabernacle. And so David is and David is in the house of the Lord many times. And so there's a question in terms of the accuracy of this psalm, it truly is the psalm of David. In fact, the historical setting of the psalm really connects to Psalm 34. It's in the context of David fleeing from Jerusalem, ignoring his son Absalom, decided to take over the kingdom and lay the bolt upon the love of the people. He was about to take over Jerusalem. David anticipates the bloodshed and then he lost and he flees from Jerusalem. And baking the city, and in the process, with agony, prayer, and so we see that it is truly something that David anticipated by the mercy of God to return to the place in the ark and place of the Lord's people. You notice it says in verse 7 of the psalm, but as for me, and so he's trusting the mercy of the Lord, and it's a future thought. It's a future trust that he has for the Lord to bring him back.
And it's interesting, something, Second Samuel 15,
verses 24 and 25. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 24. There was Zadok also, and all of the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until the people had finished crossing over this from the city. So the process is they came and going across over the Kidron up the hill of Gethsemane and the city. The city of Jerusalem. And verse 25, then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring you back and show you it and him. And so, rightly so, here in Psalm 5, we see the thought expressed once again for us by faith. We see David saying, I'm going to come back and I'm going to go to the house of the Lord. It's beautiful to see that in the middle of such a crisis, in the middle of being betrayed by his own son, in the middle of the city being conquered and rebellion, he had faith. In the midst of trial, in the midst of distress, we can have that same faith. That same trust of knowing God is in it. And he's going to bring up what is right and what is for his glory in the way it seems correctly. Now, if you want to just make a brief overview, bring things quickly, but let me just give you a brief overview of the Psalm. Verses 1 to 3, we find spring in the morning prayer time. We'll dwell on that a little bit. Verses 4 through 6, we see the Lord is holy, and he will bring justice against the sinners. And then verses 7 and 8, God will lead us. As we fear him, and we worship him, know his leading and his guiding. And then verses 9 and 10, we see the greatest enemies of God, he will go. It's something that's important to remember. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where God is being abused, being rebelled, we want to take action, break down the situation, let's remember God takes the vengeance. It's not our role to take the vengeance on the enemies of God. It's our role to trust God, to do the right thing, to bring justice, and to pray for justice. And then verses 10 to 11, God will bless and defend the righteous with joy. So we have to thank the Lord that we don't have to defend ourselves and friends and turbulence and pray. We don't need to be a blind Lord and to save the sin and weakness all around. I'm thankful to defend myself. Old set of attorneys working retention for the game save. And God is holding it. He's going to be his side. And he is defending our cause. It's wonderful that we have a wonderful defense. But as we come to this brief, all the prayers it's incredible. It's a prayer of David. Of suffering and pride. And sadly, it is often neglected. Here is the Christian Bible brain. The Christian Bible brain. You know, you stop reading, humanly speaking, well, you have a friend. My neighbor, right? Oh, we said it for one reading. She's 94, 96. A little Japanese lady, she lost her husband less than a year ago, taking fluid in her lungs. She's going from grief. the Britain stops. Right? She's a believer. She's a believer. Humanly speaking, we need breath. We need humanity. He breathed into the breath of life, but we became a living soul. We trust in breath. Humanly speaking. But there's another aspect of our life, and that's our soul. Human body, but our spiritual soul. And if we stop praying, it's just as dangerous to our spiritual life as stop breathing is to our human. It's the vital thing of the Christian's life. And sadly, it's often neglected privately, publicly. It's a sad thing to say, but I think it's a problem. Prayer meetings are at least dependent on all things. It makes sense. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. But the Jewish day was the morning prayer. There was the morning prayer, there was the noon prayer, and there was the evening prayer. And the first and the third were in conjunction with the morning and the evening Sabbath classes. So they're very thankful. Morning and evening sacrifice, and that's when the morning and the evening prayer were brought. And in the middle of the prayer. This practice was seen by the human. You remember, well, let's go there. Keep your finger there in response and the very working out through the pages of scripture here, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 6, and verse 10. He was in a time of distress. He was in a time when he was to be faced with a lion of death. And pagans were his enemies. But what did he do? He was directed not to pray anymore. Anybody but the light, the king of the land. And in verse 10, Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open, not in the closet at this time, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees three times and gave thanks before him. And that was his custom. Since early days, and the custom before he was deported. And that's the process that we see in Judaism, we see in David's Psalm 55:17, we see the same thing there. And recently, Acts of the Apostles, the disciples, gave heed to the three sections of prayer throughout the day, Acts 3, 1, and 10. And it was David's prayer. And so I want you to look at Psalm 57. Hopefully, you'll be able to see it. Psalm 57. And then we look at verse 8. Psalm 57. And verse 8. My heart is steadfast. O God, my heart is steadfast. I'm singing your praise. Awake, my heart. Awake, lute and harp. I will awake at the dawn. I will awake at the dawn. He awake early to pray. And we see it in 63, over page 63, verse 1. He says, O God, you are my God. Early when I seek you, and so I thirst for you, and I thirst long for you, and I'm blind, thirsty, and where do you get me? And then finally, one of you, Psalm 2, and verse 2. Awake, Luke, and heart, awake. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, people and praises to you.
among the nations. And so it was truly the promise of Abraham. Only come in the morning. Before the morning prayer, the Lord will do the prayer. But this was also the practice of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, 35. We read that he woke up early in the morning, calling himself to pray for the sun, before the sun came. And so we see this practice in scripture, but why is it in the link of all who are in the teaching of God's word? We fall far short of the daily and physical time in lives, both publicly and God is in the business of answering prayer. If we can believe is trusted. We pray with you in the Sunday experience between Sunday and Sunday. And some of you may already be familiar with this. If you follow the same God, you read the same life again, and you're going to see notices give you prayer requests for that week and live special requests for the very time period. There's a family called Ezra. His name is Ezra Jones. They're missionary to Brazil. They go, I'm going back to the line and I hope if they build the sprinting of a filter, I hope build it the whole time. And the boat is there. Transportation. And in December, and they found in daily, day 19, you see it behind me, if you want to know a little bit, our art invention in June 24, 2024, June article, saying about missions. And I put all that in just a preface for this. Then on Wednesday, July 27, and they say, missionary service, they put out a bill and goes to pay for them because the three families are traveling and down the incline again with a baby and baby and getting back and getting a son and then they're going back into the 14th with a 2 month old baby in the arms. This is a good boat that can fit actually 200 people, can be 3 levels. And so it's a fairly big guy. It goes up the middle of the mile. It carries the 800 people. And now we're using it. And so what we got on Wednesday night is we got the message to pray for the family, particularly the family. We say that the boys, they care. Barbara's mine. That evening, we prayed for their safety. This is a good thing. The 27th of this week, and we prayed for them. Thursday, the next day, the boat that they're on comes on. We've already known that 5 years in the boats, and it was disastrous. The human don't survive, but the ladder in the boat. Their boat was totally destroyed. They had to jump off the boat. Went into the Nile River, the coast, the shoreline was about 100 yards away. There were different currents going pulling the boat, pulling in different ways. They became separated as a family. Some of them, most of them, all of them did not expect to sit for, it says, Eric and Esme, and the head of the family's corner. Shepherds were bobbing up and down, the people were pushing them off to save them. And they were just scattered and they get in the water. A fantastic thing. The Lord preserved them. He protected everyone who was saved. They were all brought to the shore. They were separated. They looked for one another to come up. Eventually, they all came up. And one was lost. They actually didn't think all of them. We were praying for them Wednesday. And Thursday. And I'm not saying the prayers of our sadly. But it was a joy for us to realize we were praying for them. And then they respond to these things today. And what a wonderful thing God does. He answers. And the Lord is our strength. That's grounding. I was the functional grounding, gasping for breath, while the functional grounding is standing in heart, these lines. No more our strength and our confidence and our honor are to you. None are the wrong. Of our defense, the front of our defense. Our song is great. Who does still the violence of an enraging sea. And so we see in Psalm 5, but let those rejoice and put their trust in you. Let them shout for joy because you depend on you. Let those also who love you be joyful in you. In the world from the oil can the they were full of joy. There was no gas from there was only engine oil. If you don't do anything, you would know that engine oil from water would just be an eternal flame that consumed everybody in the water. But engine oil was combustible with the water. And they were really hard. But they were saved. And the Lord spared them. So many things. The wind was coming in the opposite direction and gave the storm of the slow down the waste of the thing clear. And it was an exciting thing to see. And so we're looking at Psalm 5. We're going to be looking at it again. It's an hour and it's going to be given to you. Prayer. It's a prayer for guidance, a prayer for the direction, a prayer for the Lord to continue to sustain us as we are faithful to Him. And this prayer can also be fulfilled in our life. It was fulfilled in our life to bring the and it can be dependent on His own defense we need. So the symbol of sin. If you ask your prayer there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, we see the shield of faith. That's the protection of the Lord. And then in verse 17, the word of God. Well, that's the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. That's verse 18, you find that it's important. The prayer. The prayer life that Paul asked that he would be able to say the right things as he was brought before the officials and needed prayer. So when you put those three things together, the shield of faith, the word of God, and the prayer of God, those three things make powerful, united for the Christian life. We know God's power, we know the strength. We have the friends of the Lord depend upon and we know one who hears and listens to our faith. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that He is the one who is waiting for you. And so we're going to look at prayer again. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that many times we see your word convicting. We see your word actually embarrassing us and feel so often so flat to come before you and be strong and to know that you hear and that you answer and that you're all powerful and that you in heaven are just waiting to hear us. You want to hear us and you want to ask. And so, Lord, convict us and show us the need, not only for personal prayer, but convict us with regard to public, practical prayer that we can do together as an assembly. May our wins and gates be powerful, committed to prayer as we join collectively. And it says in Jesus' name.